Today on Real Radio.
Jesus is washing the disciples' feet, and Peter, you know, being Peter, he's watching this going on, and it's a pretty humbling event. So then Jesus gets to Peter, and he goes, "You don't have to wash my feet." Ooh, Peter.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues now in his series through Paul's second New Testament letter to the Corinthians. We're in a mini-series taken from the last 8 verses of chapter 6 and the first verse of chapter 7. As we have learned, this is a powerful section of Scripture that emphasizes the importance of the believer to separate himself from false doctrine and practice. Here's Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now with more in his mini-series called Come Over Here.
And that's what God's asking us to do today as Christians. Think about it in a minute. I mean, not in a minute, I'm lying. In what, 20 minutes you're going to leave this building? This building? I'd like to get an aerial shot of this. Google Earth live. This building, thousands of people in it right now, and the service is over, and the doors open up. You know what the Romans call those doors? The vomitoriums. Did you know that? It's an architectural term. I'm not making it up. A vomitorium is doors that lead you out of the stadium. In a minute, you're going to be going out through the vomitorium, and you're going to be deposited out into the world. Galvanized, holy, righteous, separate. Listen, separate from sinners because you're hidden in Christ. But because that's true, God goes like this. Watch, he goes like this. He squeezes out through the doors. And from Google Earth, this building's going. Three services in the morning. Thousands of people. Why? What happens? To the world. Think about it. Demons driving down the street, going down the freeway. Satanic powers walking around the parking lot. The doors open up. And these Christians suited up in light armor light. Light of armor. Boom. Coming out. Christians. Where are you going? Going to brunch, where are you going? Going to the game, where are you going? I'm going to the beach. Christians in the spirit realm. And hell shakes. Get in there, come. You know, imagine them driving by. What's happening? The Christians are letting out. Demons should tremble when you're let loose. The building opens up. No! You've been galvanized to go into a broken world. You're not going to melt. You're not going to break. I can't talk to them. I'm a Christian. Go talk to them. Now, look, don't go talk to them about, hey, what are you drinking? Don't do that. Say, hey, man, did you know that no drunk's going to inherit heaven? No, don't say that. But love them. You can tell them, hey, I'm a Christian. You guys get blitzed. I'll drive you home. Just know when I drive you home, I'm going to be praying for you all the way home. You won't know it because you'll be passed out. But God will hear me. I'll be praying for you. That's real life. God set us free. Look at verse 18. Come over here and see real family. Real. Look, we're Christians. Isn't it awesome? If blood is thicker than water, then the spirit's thicker than blood. All of us can attest to the fact that our family spiritually is way stronger than our physical family. Isn't it amazing? I love that. I love this verse. Verse 18, look at three things. God says, I will be a father to you. Do you know how radical this is? The Bible says, I'll be a father to you. What kind of a father did you have? You say, I had a great father. That's awesome. Your heavenly father's greater. Well, my father was the worst. Hey, don't judge your heavenly father by your earthly father. Our father's greater. Number one, I will be to you a father. Number two, you shall be sons and daughters of mine. This is the creator God of the universe. He's the one. And what does he say? I want you to be my sons and daughters. Is that amazing? Look, are you not feeling loved today? Are you not feeling accepted today? I'm not a Christian. Well, man, that's a bummer. Why not? I'm 55 and 3/4 old. I still have not yet heard a good reason why you're not a Christian. Not yet. Not from anybody. Don't you want some love? Don't you want some acceptance?
Yeah.
Well, here's the deal. Jesus Christ died to wash you clean. Amen. And to give you a whole new life. And he's invited you into his family. He invented family. He's the one. And he says, I'll be a father to you. And you can be my sons and daughters. Amen. That whole concept that you and I have, good, bad, or ugly, was born with God. God loves the family. And his family spiritually, look at number three under this. Who's saying this? That's what I love about this verse 18. Who is saying these promises? Who's saying this? Oh, none other than Yah. Y-A-H is the name of God. Yahweh. We use Yahweh. Yahweh Almighty. What does that mean? Yah, his name means save, salvation. That's what his name means. Like my name means Jack. Lift up heavy objects. What's your name? Your name has a meaning. His name, Yah, his name means salvation. Isn't that cool? I am the salvation God, the Almighty. What does that mean? That means I am Almighty to save. That's my name. His name's not God. God is what he is. He's Yah, your God. That's awesome. Hallelujah. Yeah. That's his name. Praise. Hallelujah. Yah. Praise Yah. Look how smart you are. It's amazing. Now look, in any family, we need to, I don't need to belabor this, but we need to hear this because we want to walk healthy, we want to walk empowered before God. Every family, you know, how many of you kids? Raise your hands. You got kids. Okay? Remember when your kids were growing up? Maybe they still are. I know they're little angels, but you know they can cross the line sometimes and you say, go to your room. Are they still your kids? Yes. I know. Somebody said, nope. they're still your kids. Our God does not believe in abortion. He doesn't commit any abortions in the family of God. He says, listen, he says like you said, go to your room. And Junior or Miss America, they walk down the hallway, they go to the room and shut the door. And here's what you should do. You shouldn't have done that. Go to your room. I'll be there in 10 minutes, and you're going to be disciplined for what you just did. I want you to think about it. Before you're disciplined, I'm going to ask you to tell me what it is you did. Now go to your room. Now, I don't know how, look, we only had two kids. I don't know how many kids you have, but look, here's the dynamic, because God is amazing. One of our kids would be like this, I don't care, and sit down. And you had to deal with that differently. And God gives the parent the ability and the wisdom to read that. One of the other kids, and by the way, those of you who have one kid, have a second kid. Watch what happens. It's amazing. They can come from the same place and be totally different. How does that happen? Same chemistry, same oven, everything different. I don't get it. The next one, you go to your room, and they're like, oh, God, oh, yeah. And they go to the room. Look, both need discipline. Application's different. God says to us, look in Isaiah 59. Isaiah 59, 1 and 2, this is what God says to us. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that he cannot save, nor his ear heavy that he cannot hear, but your sins have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. Are you a Christian today? I'm only talking to the Christian. You walking in sin? God wants you to be galvanized, not succumbing to the sin. He wants you to be empowered over the sin. But listen, you're entertaining these things. You're not listening to him. And you want God to bless your life, but he's not blessing your life. You want to know why? It's just like your kid, after he, you know, cooks the cat, he says, hey, I want this for Christmas. Look, you're not talking about Christmas stuff. You just bit the cat. Go to your room. There's no talk about gifts. Are you with me? He's still your kid, but he's not going to get any blessings. He's got to go to his room until that thing is cleared up. God does the same thing with us. God, bless me, bless me. God said, what's that? I hear this little squeak going on down there. What is that? No, man, when you're not walking with him, God loves you so much, he will withhold his blessings because he doesn't want to send you the wrong message. You go, man, I'm backslidden Christian, sleeping with bubbles. Life's great. Look at my life is blessed. No, it's not. In fact, if you're a backslidden Christian, you're miserable. Every time bubbles calls you, you want to throw up. You're not blessed. And God's not talking to you. He's not listening to you. He wants you to come back like the Corinthians needed to come back and be part of the family. Number three, we'll end with this. Come over here and be. Verse 1 of chapter 7. Now remember, if you came in late, there's no chapter breaks in the original scriptures, so the guy down at the Bible factory shouldn't have put the break right there. It's not inspired by God. Verse 1 actually ends the argument of chapter 6. It's precious. See the word therefore? Can you circle that word? It's amazing. What does that mean? In conclusion, it means wrapping this up. You see? In light of what you just heard, boom, here's the point. And it's a happy one. Having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, the body and the mind, flesh and spirit, and perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Very quickly, this is what he's telling us now. Come over here and be my child. Therefore, these promises, beloved, that's family talk, specifically to a child. What is he saying? The promises that Paul's referring to are the promises of verses 14 to 18. 14 to 18. What's the main thrust of it? We've studied it last week. You are the temple of the living God. He's saying, all right, get it now and go do it. Based on God doesn't dwell in temples made with human hands. He dwells in you, the believer. So get up and go. He's saying, in light of all of that, this is where we stand on our conclusion. You are indwelt by the Holy Spirit, God Almighty. And that is an awesome truth. It is the declaration of God declaring to us that we are in him. Listen to this. Romans chapter 8, verse 14. I love this. Romans 8, 14 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, led by the Spirit of God, your life is open. There's no greater desire that you have in life is to be led by God. These are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear. Notice, you did not receive a religious spirit to be bound up in legalism. You've been liberated. But you have received the spirit, capital S, that's the Holy Spirit, of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. God adopted you. Isn't that amazing? Look, we all know this, but we're grateful. We're all grateful. When you give birth to your child, that's your kid. I mean, that's yours. That's your kid. You're taking him home. That's your kid. I don't know if I like it. It's your. You. Take him. And that's great. But there's something amazing when God goes like this. Wow. She is precious to me. He is something to me. And God says, I adopt you. There's something about being picked. And God says, I picked you. Isn't that wild? Think of it. Does God need anything? What does he need? Nothing. Ego eimi. The word means self-contained one. Yeah, but Pastor, you know, he died on the cross because he needed a relationship with us. No, he didn't. Well, he was lonely in heaven. No, he's not. He has no weakness. He has no need. So, yeah, you raise a question. What's this all about? I don't know. I can't answer that. How can I answer that? Well, the one who needs nothing turns and looks at you and says, I want you to be with me. Think of it. What, I don't know who's famous these days. What's big? Who's big? Name a name. They're real rich, real powerful. Who? Somebody. Sheikh Al-Mahamalini from Saudi Arabia, right? Anybody has gold-plated Rolls Royces, I guess that's a big deal. What if Sheikh Alibaba called you up and said, I'm going to be in the LA area. I want to have lunch with you. Who? Me? Who? What? What if Bill Gates called you up and said, I'd like to have lunch with you today. How'd you get my number? I'm Bill Gates. I'd like to have lunch with you. Yeah. Why would that happen? It makes no sense, right? Does Bill Gates need you? He doesn't need you. But he wants you. He wants to be with you. He wants to have coffee with you. Imagine the creator of the universe. He said, I'd like to have lunch with you. In fact, Jesus knocks and says, I'd like to have dinner with you. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Huh? Oh, what do you need? Actually, I don't need anything. I would just like you to be with me. The creator of the universe wants me to be with him. Do you see all of a sudden we went from religion to relationship without even mentioning those words? How cool is that? And he says, oh, by the way, you know what? Would it be too much for you to handle if you called me Father? Because I certainly call you my son and my daughter. Do you remember the story about the gingerbread man? I've read several different versions, so I don't know how it goes exactly, but it goes something like this. That little girl made that gingerbread man in the storybook. And I think she set him by the window to cool off. And that little goober got up. He jumped up off the sheet, and he jumped out of the window, and he ran from that farmhouse into the big city. Remember? And I don't know if he went out smoking and drinking with other donuts and stuff like that, but he went into the world. And she went looking for the gingerbread man that she made him. She put his eyes there, his mouth there, his little buttons down his front end. She did all that stuff. And he takes off. And she's hunting, looking. And he's goofing off, and he winds up getting captured, wasn't it, by a bakery guy? Who? The cops? A fox. Okay, look. Okay, focus. Somehow, he winds up in a store front window, and he's like caught now. He's busted. And she's walking by, she sees him. And she goes in there, she goes, hey, mister, that's my gingerbread man. I want him back. And he goes, I don't care. You want him, you have to buy him. So she pays for the gingerbread man that she made, and then she gets him. She gets outside, and she looks that little goober in the face, and she says, you listen to me now. I made you. You're mine. But now I bought you. You're doubly mine. Amen. Jesus Christ, God, made you. He died on the cross to pay the bill of sin that you and I racked up, running around, hanging out with donuts and all that stuff, sinning up a storm. He goes to the cross and he buys us out. And now he's speaking to some of you today and he's saying, listen here, I made you and I bought you and you're doubly mine. Why would you refuse him? Why would you resist him? He wants you to be his child. He wants you to be a witness. Verse 1 tells us, let us cleanse ourselves of all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, or of the flesh, the body, and the psuche, the mind. Get away from the stuff that your mind feeds on and you wind up feeling filthy. Bible says, get away from it. Cleanse yourself. Notice it says cleanse yourself. Thank God it didn't say save yourself. No, because listen, the Bible says you've been washed with the water of the word. You've already been washed. Remember poor Peter? He's so great. We learned so much at his expense. Jesus is washing the disciples' feet, and Peter, you know, being Peter, he's watching this going on, and it's a pretty humbling event. So then Jesus gets to Peter, and he goes, you don't have to wash my feet. Ooh, Peter. Jesus said, well, that's fine, because if I don't wash your feet, then you have no relationship with me. And Peter is so great. He's just like Mr. Pendulum. He goes, oh, not only my feet, but my head and my body, everything, wash me. Jesus goes, calm down. If you've been washed, all you need to do is have your feet cleaned because you're already washed. You understand that, Christian? You're walking in a world and you're going to get your feet dirty. You've been washed by the power of God's word, believer. We need to confess to him on a regular basis. Lord, that was the wrong thought. Listen, cleanse yourself from all filth. Lord, that was my body shouldn't have gone in this direction. My feet shouldn't have gone in this direction. My mind should not have gone in this direction. Jesus, please forgive me. Please don't let me go that route again. You hear that? Thank God it doesn't say save yourself, because he saved us. And then that leads us to hope. We end with this. Look at verse 1. Perfecting holiness and the fear of God. Isn't this not kind of scary? I will admit, it means for you, not me. Listen, you. You say, well, what do you mean not you? I'm talking to you right now. You. Yes, it applies to me. Every one of us who are Christians. It means give every bit of effort. Build that fence. Create an environment that builds up your faith in God. It's exactly what's meant in Hebrews 10:25, I think it is, that says, watch out, in the last days, people will stop going to fellowship with one another, and they will not congregate together like you are right now. So I don't have to go to church. You don't have to go to church. But you're going to have a stunted or a retarded spiritual development if you stop. It's too crowded in here. God works in the crowd. I don't like the parking. He caused this place to be jammed packed because you don't have the patience. So God sends you to a church where you can't get out of the parking lot forever, forever. Why? Because it drives you crazy. Why? Because we need to get fixed in that area. Nope, it's a lot easier just to have church with me. That's why it doesn't work. You're all brothers and sisters. You got to get along. Hope. Listen, this holiness that God is perfecting in our lives, it's so incredibly practical. It's just you and I yielding ourselves to an obedient life to Jesus every day. And when you fall and trip up, you get up and you ask him to cleanse you and wash you from all filthiness and you get up and go again. You'll never be sinless, not until you drop dead or the rapture happens. See, that's a good day to look forward to the end of days. Right? But you'll start to sin less. How does that happen? God does it. You'll always sin until the end. You'll have a bad thought or you'll wonder, you know, what's going on and how come this? And if I were God, you know why? And all that stuff. But as you get closer to Jesus, the light of the sun, S-O-N, just kind of starts to blow stuff away. And then you'll find that you're not happy anywhere else but with him. And all through the thing, all through the experience, all through the journey, you'll have hope. And it's a very comforting thing because that's the fear of God. If this is not, listen, it's not the fear that destroys you. It's the word would apply to be in fear of God. It's the same feeling if we went down to the wedge and we stood there and those 25-foot waves were pounding right there by the harbor down in Newport. Boom! You ever seen those waves? I've seen them throw people over on the other side of the harbor. You ever been there? The ground is shaking from the waves. And let me tell you something. You can be with people joking around, oh, well, oh, that's dumb. Oh, well. And then all of a sudden you walk out there and everyone gets silent. Wow. And you feel this big. That's to have the fear of God. God is awesome. He's in heaven above. I'm here on earth. He's God. And you keep that. You nurture that relationship. And I don't know how he does it, but in his awesomeness, he opens his door and says, be my child.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio. It's a lesson called Come Over Here. It's a study taken from the last 8 verses of chapter 6 and the first verse of chapter 7 of 2 Corinthians. Come Over Here is actually a mini-series taken from Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse journey through 2 Corinthians, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Listen, have you subscribed to the Real Life with Jack Hibbs channel on YouTube? Thousands of folks have already done it. You'll see all kinds of studies and lessons and presentations. In fact, you're notified each time a new video is posted if you set the account up that way. Now, if you've ever subscribed to a YouTube channel, you know how easy it really is. The Real Life with Jack Hibbs channel on YouTube. Just go to reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org, and scroll down to the bottom and click YouTube, the Real Life with Jack Hibbs channel on YouTube. Our phone number here at Real Radio, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.